Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast. I am your host, Adam. I am here with my co-host, as always, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
Howdy-ho!
How are you tonight, my friend?
Good. We are here on this whatever day it is of the week to do our weekly episode of
the
Moncton Wildcast Podcast. We are excited for our listeners to listen to our voices for another hour that they will never get back in their lives.
Some might say the best hour of their life or the worst.
Well, the worst hour of their life would be the one time they go, no.
Staying warm out there in your day-to-day sales?
Yeah, you know, I got my gloves on, I got my toque on, my big 3-in-1 jacket, doing good. I'm hanging in there. It's pretty rewarding so far. I'm having a good month. If you know anybody, no, I won't plug myself here as a salesperson for the benefit of my own enjoyment.
Especially since they're hashtag not a sponsor.
Correct.
But, man, it's a full show. Let's get right into it with a quick question. Obviously, the Monctonian tournament just finished up. It was a Moncton sweep. So a huge congratulations to the Moncton Hawks AAA Bantam team that was able to win in overtime, I believe.
It was overtime, yeah. A goal by Jack McNeish. Kind of a careless looking shot from the from the point that found a way, and you know the KV goalie wanted it back. Just judging by his reaction, but that game was pretty entertaining. The whole tournament was awesome. One of my favorite tournaments of the entire year. Which in the prospects game as well. Which yeah. I think we're going to get into that. I'll roll into it
here in actually literally just a few seconds. And as well, huge congratulations to Wildcat prospects Nick Sheehan, Dominic LeBlanc, and Jonathan DeRose as they won the AAA championship for the midget title. So
as correctly predicted by yours truly.
Yes, you got one. Got one. He's on a roll, just like Bathurst, right?
Still waiting for the Cleveland Browns to win the Super Bowl.
Could be waiting a while. The quick question on top of that: you were at the prospects game on Friday. Just give us a little rundown of what you saw. Who impressed you? You know, who could have been a little bit better? I guess.
I'm not going to say who could have been a little better, but who should have been in the game that were notable omissions for some particular reason. I mentioned last week his name, best name of the tournament, Travis Badcock, for some reason, unbeknownst to me, was not in the prospects game. Another one is Ethan Delamont of Ross St. Netherwood and Cale McDonald from Halifax. Those are just three names that I was a little surprised weren't in the prospects game. Talking to some other people, those were, you know, named as well that they were, surprised to not see. No idea why. Maybe I'm seeing things that Central Scouting's not seeing. Mm-hmm. But some names that, you know, kind of impressed me. I kind of get a list of seven per team, which is a little ridiculous. But I'll cut it down to, you know, three or
you
four.
You get a name, and you get a name, and you get a call.
Get a positive review. But Leighton Carruthers of the Halifax Max, a real power forward. His brother, I think his name's Logan, was drafted by the Screaming Eagles, but, you know, never did make the team.
The who?
The Cape Breton Eagles. It was the Cape Breton. Yeah. Don't try to correct me. Listen,
just
buddy.
Just making sure you're on top of it. You are.
I think it was Cape Breton.
Yeah.
Power forward, probably going to be a first-round pick in the Q draft. Another one, Donovan Arsenault of the Kensington Wild, mentioned him last week as well. Pretty sure he's related to Jacob Arsenault somehow, striking resemblance. Another name that stood out to me that I didn't mention last week, love this kid out of Halifax, Jacob Newcomb, the Sambro fisherman. So funny, great story about him. He is a fisherman in the summertime. So he catches the fish and then sells them to the bigger fishermen mm-hmm. for bait. And that's basically his off-season training. He's a fisherman and if you you know if you get to know him and he's got a next level physique already. Like he's physically mature for the next level of hockey. Another one is Carter Ansems from I believe the Valley Wildcats. This guy's like 15 years old and he's like 6'8". And like 180 pounds. He's
Jesus. An
absolute monster. And he can skate. Like, he's not, you know, his size doesn't hold him back. He
right.
can fly. Like, he went end-to-end and just, you know, dangled on one chance. Didn't score, but it was, there were a lot of oohs and ahs from the, you know, from everybody in the crowd just because of his size, right? And mm-hmm. It was, but very raw. He's a very raw, raw player. Like, if he's 6'8", he should fill out to... you know, 210, 220, and I think he's at 180 right now. But if he fills out, he's going to be an absolute beast at the next level. And then from Team White, both goalies, Jack Howitt and Riley Mercer, both had very strong games. And then I'll throw out a few names just from the Moncton Flyers. I mentioned them last week, but Mateo Mann and Sam Savoy, a couple names as well. That Mateo Mann is another big bodies, like 6'4", 190, out of Sackville, right shot defenseman. Big fan of him. And another one I liked is Antoine Waugh from Rothsay. He was a leading scorer in the New Brunswick Bantam League last year. You know, had his options to play for the Northern Moose of the New Brunswick League. Decided to go to the Rothsay. He's actually the cousin of one of our buddies on the Bathurst podcast.
Oh, nice.
Cyril Junior. Decided to go to Rossay, which kind of opens up the door to, you know, to be viewed by Q scouts as well as, USHL. So looks like he's got some options open to him, but, another one that's got, you know, some next level size too, you know, 6'1", 190. So, you know, when you get a forward like that at 15, you can't complain.
All right. So that was the draft recap and prospect recap. And these aren't kids that are going to go in the top end rounds. These are kids that can go in any round at any time, right? Because a lot of the Quebec AAA kids aren't here, and they're going to fill out the rest of the draft, obviously.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Like, you look at Leighton Carruthers and Donovan Arsenault. I think those two are you know, a couple of guys that will go fairly high. Jacob Newcomb, he's actually buried on a very deep Halifax Max roster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's he's someone that you could probably get in the fifth or sixth, seventh round. Just really works hard. He's, you know, he never took a shift off. He was consistently one of the hardest working players on the ice. Matty O'Mann here, Moncton, probably a second rounder. Sam Savoy, probably a second rounder. So some of these guys are going to be high picks, but some of them are guys that you'll find, you know, in the later rounds, which could be, you know, with all intentions of Moncton, you know, being buyers, likely going to be giving up a lot of draft picks and, you know, may not have one next June until
fifth round.
Exactly,
yeah.
Fourth or fifth round. So, you know, you got to think that that's in the heads of their scouts as well, that they got to find these diamonds in the roughs. They got to find these, you know, these skilled players that, you know, are buried on deep rosters.
And let's be honest, they found them in the past 2 years with DeRoger and Wilson and Pavin. Well, Pavin was a fourth, yeah. But...
Longwood, Padon, yeah. Like those are two yeah. ninth round picks that, you know, cracked the team this year. So, you got to be able to, you have to have an eye for that. You know, you can't just be going to games as a scout watching the top guys. You got to be watching every guy every guy in the ice. In a case like Jacob Newcomb, who's, you know, probably, like I said, still going to be on the board around the fifth, sixth round.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure if you ask a scout, any scout can pick out the top guy. They make their money they make their money, as they say, by finding the diamonds in the rough.
That's
so.
It. Yep, exactly.
All right, well, let's get to some news and notes from around... Oh, let's hit the right button. From around the league.
News and notes from around the league.
All right, so a few suspensions were handed out this past week, and one that's a little bit questionable why it hasn't happened, and maybe we can discuss that. So, obviously, close to home, Alexander Havanov was suspended one game, which will be this Thursday versus Chicoutimi for the biting incident at the the biting incident at the end of the Charlottetown game. We'll get into that one a little bit later. Dmitry Zavgorodny out 8 to 12 weeks. They're without Colton Ellis for a little while. I think I saw a tweet like they're
hurting.
They're hurting, and for being a team that's going to sell, they're going to have to sell even more to make up for his. I mean, they still got Lafreniere. They still got Paré, but that's all they have? They're kind of a one-line team. From the outside looking in, they're kind of a one-line team, but, I mean, when you got to add now, you were going to add. Now you got to add even more to make up for that. That's going to be difficult there.
Yeah, it is. Zabgorodny, it's in the case of any other player, you know, you could go out and find a right winger to go play on that top line, but he's an import, man. Yeah. Like, you can't, like, you know, you go and get a player, like a right winger, to fill in for him now, but then that means you're going to be dropping a player once he's back, right? So, and you're not going to go and get rid of him. You're not going to go and pick up an import and then just drop Zabgorodny. He's a super talented player. That's really going to hurt them. And then you also have, like, you know, you got the Colton Ellis situation where they're playing, you know, a rookie goaltender right now.
And I don't even know how long he's out for.
No idea. It's tough. Like, they're, depending on how long he's out for, they got some serious, you know, decisions to make here. Like, because 8 to 12 weeks, that's 3 months,
yeah,
4 months. That's crazy. Like, that's a long, long time to be without one of your top players. Obviously, wish him nothing but the best. Speedy recovery. And
misses the World Juniors, too.
Misses the World Juniors.
Which he probably would have been going there with. Kind of opens the door for a little bit of a bidding war for Gravel, right? Between them and Cape Breton, depending how long those two goalies are out. But does Moncton still hold Allberg's rights? Or they release him, do you know?
He's gone.
He's gone?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought they could make a deal.
Well, it's not still. I don't think Allberg would be in a position to step in and play on their top line.
No.
I don't think.
I just think it wouldn't cost a lot for Allberg if you were going to acquire him, right? But if he's, I think he's down the USHL as far as I know.
Scored his first goal a couple nights ago.
Yeah, good for him.
I don't think Rimouski needs to go out and trade for a number one goaltender. If there's any goaltender that Rimouski should trade for right now from Halifax, it's Cole MacLaren.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If anything, they need a reliable backup goaltender. If they're going to be serious this season, they can't be having an unproven rookie goaltender as their backup, especially in situations like this, yeah, where, you know, you're an injury away from, you know, going into the playoffs with a goalie I've never even heard of before.
Yeah.
And that could spell danger. That could be dangerous because they should be.
They're one of the top five contenders.
Yeah, like, they should be buying this year. They should be making a long run in the playoffs. But it all depends. If Colton Ellis is out a while, I mean, you mentioned it the other day, you have to think about maybe trading Lafreniere, but man,
you got to at least make the call if you're Richie, you know?
Look,
you have to at least make the call because that'd be like sacrilege up there. They like that city. I was talking to Sanderson about this. He said that city would riot if they actually traded him. I don't think they will. All I'm saying is you got to make the call because you don't like Rimouski doesn't want to waste his last year. And that's why they had Paré and Zavgorny and they were going to load up and stuff. But it's not looking great up in Rimouski.
I don't think there's many teams out there that would have the assets to go and get him. It would literally go down as one of the most craziest trades, maybe even bigger than a Noah Dobson trade.
Yeah.
Obviously, all signs point to this being Lafreniere's last season in the queue. But let's say it's not.
Yeah.
And he comes back. Like, that's, I mean, it would be a huge, 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 huge trade. And I think the only team out there right now that have the assets to pull it off would be Chicoutimi. Like, they have 3 first-round picks next summer.
Yeah.
You understand how valuable that's going to be in a month's time?
Yeah,
when you're
yeah.
one of the top teams in the league and you have 3 first-round picks?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet mother of God. Like, it's... they're the only team that could pull it off.
Right.
Yeah. That's Yeah, they're not going to trade him. It's all talk right now. But I don't think they're not going to.
They're not going to trade him unless they maybe go on like a 10-game slide leading up to Christmas, or I guess what is it?
Don't even think. So. I wouldn't even
6-7-game slide, like, because all you got to do is make a couple moves and keep your head above water. You're making the playoffs because you're not going to be worse than Bathurst or Gatineau or whoever doesn't make it. So you're obviously going to make it in this league. So I just thought it was interesting. Maybe, you know, you make the call.
Can't see it happening.
No. The other suspension, one of the funnier ones that you sent the other day, Jerome Gravel from Victo was suspended one game for pulling hair while fighting. If you're going to grow it, it's all legal. Right?
That's a different one. But yeah. I'm glad it was one of them and not one of the Moncton players, cuz I think I'd probably have some funny jokes about that.
Yeah, that's
fair. But we'll leave it at that. It's an interesting suspension.
Not one you think you'd see. Biting and hair pulling.
Not one that you hear about very often. Yeah. But we'll just leave it at that.
Just imagine league office biting and hair pulling.
Oh, jeez.
What are we dealing with here? And then there's a lot of talk on the old Twitter sphere. Lafreniere has not yet been suspended as of this recording for abusive official. I kind of talked to you. Is it the double standard? Was it not? Like, is it the superstar? We can't suspend him for 3 games? Because say what you will, and I didn't see any replays of it, but a lot of people on the island think he should have been suspended for 2 games or a few games for the elbow on... I think it was Beauregard. Now, he didn't play the Canada-Russia series with an illness, so maybe that was their way of getting around it without actually saying it, but abusive official carries an automatic 3 games.
If it's reviewed by the league and they say they think it's warranted for 3 games, then yes. But look, I watched the replay of this. When I saw this video and then I saw that he was called for abusive official, I face-palmed pretty hard. This was a soft abusive official's call. This would be like me just going over to you and let's say you kind of just got in my way.
Yeah.
And I gave you a love shove, you know, just to say excuse me kind of thing. Yeah. It was an excuse me push of an official. He was being led to the dressing room and it was kind of one of those look ref, I can get there myself, you know, let me go kind of thing. It was a joke of a call. I think at that point of the game, I think the ref was just trying to.
Well, that was a game that Serge was losing his mind too, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was all happening at the same time.
A day after Patrick Waugh, like maybe officials were tired of.
It was a soft call. I honestly don't even think he'll get anything out of it.
No.
It was that soft. Hmm. It's an automatic 3-game suspension, but the league still has to review it. If the league reviews it and says, you didn't do anything bad.
Shouldn't you at least give one for the precedent of touching an official? Like you can't push them. You can't do anything with them.
Give them 1 game.
Right.
But like, that's it. Like this was nothing more than a love shove.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was me 19 years old at the rock and rodeo dance floor, you know, and I'm trying to get to my friends and this guy's in my way and I just said, "Oh, excuse me." And I just give him a little push on the shoulder. That's what it was.
Okay.
And it wasn't I think it was just a ref trying to abusive power is what I would call it. If anything, suspend the ref for abusive power. it was just a soft call. Just whoever that linesman is or ref is, I'm just gonna start calling him Butter because it's
soft.
Yeah,
I like it.
S A W F T soft.
All right, let's bring it back to the week that was. 3 games this past week. The Cats came away with 4 points as I predicted. Not really happy about it, but I got one right too. Bringing their record to 17-5 for 34 points, still atop the Eastern Conference. Let's get to the 3 of 4. Last Thursday here in Moncton, it was basically what we expected. It's what we're going to see every time these two teams play. It was good to see LaRue back in the lineup. He did get back on that top line, but he got back there because Rumsey went out with something. And the other bigger story of the game was the Spence injury that I didn't see what happened. All of a sudden, you were messaging me that he was off, not on the bench.
Lower body, I think it is. So I'm not exactly sure what the injury was, hoping he's back on Thursday, which would be you know, fantastic. If not, we're in a situation again where we got to decide what to do. But yeah, that you're right. It was really good to have Leroux back because he scored a beautiful goal.
Yep.
You know, it's forechecking behind the net and just does the old stick lift on Plandowski and then the wraparound on Welsh. And, you know, that's kind of what got it going because they scored about a minute and a half later, I think, on the power play, which was by Sear, which was the game winner. I think it's like, I don't know if it's, you just see what Leroux brings to this organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he scores a big goal like that and it just kind of gets the team going. Like they were the rest of the way, they were, you know, they played well, they were strong defensively. And that's, it just, he's captain material. You know, if we're fortunate enough to have him still on our team in, you know, in a couple of years, I can easily see him having the C. Of course, you can't spell Zach without the C. And boom, 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 I got that one. You know what? It's been a pleasure watching him play. Pelche had a fantastic year as a 16-year-old. But Leroux is making plays that you would only see like an 18 or a 19-year-old mm-hmm. make in this league.
Yep.
He's mature beyond his years when it comes to his play on the ice. You know, he's making these power forward moves that, you know, is reminiscent of Dmitry Yaskin when he played for Moncton or a Maxime Comtois when he played for, you know, in Victoriaville. Those are, you know, two players that I see his game and I see them in his game. And, you know, those are, you know, pretty big name guys that, you know, throughout this league. So, like I said, we'll be fortunate enough to still have him, well, on our team in the, you know, for the next few years.
Here's hoping.
Yep. And we'll leave it at that. That's my saying. I think I say leave it at that a lot.
Yeah, that's okay. I say I like it.
I like it. 100%.
100%. Well, that was Chris. We retired that one. It's up in the banners.
The rafters.
Yeah, and then Friday with Gatineau on a little bit of a streak coming in. They lost to Bathurst the night before, which shout out to you for, you know, your hot take, and they've responded by, you know, two home wins in a row on a little bit of a streak there. But the Wildcats just took it to them for their eighth win in a row at home. You know, it's kind of nice to finally see Wildcats take advantage of a team lower in the standings coming off a game the night before, and yeah, Moncton played the night before too, but it was at home. You know, out shooting them, what, 42-21? 41-21. Jonathan DeRose, he was called up for that one. So, I mean,
in the middle of Monctonian.
Yeah. Yeah. Played Thursday, Friday for the Cats, Saturday.
Yeah. Warrior.
We kind of wondered if he was going to.
It was crazy because, you know, I didn't think, because, you know, I watched the Flyers game on Friday, Saturday, the noon game.
Friday.
And I watched the game, but it's funny because I watched the first couple periods and I thought I saw him out there.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, he's obviously scratched because he was the call up for the for the Wildcats, which was good because he's just another, like you said earlier in the show, another nice late round find, and someone that's going to be like I think a pretty good. I say 4 or 5 defensemen down the road.
Yeah. Him and Isaac Wilson. I don't mind that pair. They played, the minutes they played against Gatineau, they played not a lot of minutes, but they were valuable minutes. They didn't make a lot of mistakes. I mean, Isaac Wilson, that guy just makes, and it's maybe because he's young, he gets that puck out of there. There's a couple times he, or there's one time he got stuck behind the net trying to go back the other way, and it kind of took a weird bounce and they got trapped. But other than that, I like those two playing sheltered minutes when we need them.
I think with Isaac Wilson, it's, you know, he was a forward turned defenseman.
Yeah.
So I think his puck skills comes a lot from being forward. And it's just an, you know, a nice benefit having him back there, because I only think he switched from forward to defense when he was in I want to say Bantam, because it wasn't very long ago, so it was just one of those hybrid guys that you can have in your lineup where, you know, he knows how to play both, you know, the forward and the D position. So, you know, if down the road if he's called up, he can, you know, you can use him as a defenseman, you can use him as a forward, and it's a lot like Jonathan Aspro too. I think we drafted Aspro as a forward, and, you know, he turned out to be a pretty damn good defenseman.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are
kind of Moncton's theme. Same with Big Rig too. He can go up or down, but he's been playing great defense.
Huge
now.
Benefit to, you know, those hybrid players. Yeah.
And then the game that before we move on to the game everyone's talking about, I thought Lavallee played well. Limited shots. Didn't have to do a whole lot, but the saves he needed to make, there was one he dove across. I think he got a piece of it, losing his stick in the process, and then got a defenseman's stick and stayed with it, made a great glove save on, I believe, a screenshot. But he didn't get tested a lot, but I think he kind of didn't atone for some of the things that were said out there about the Bathurst game. But yeah. I think he had, you know, acquitted himself quite well.
Rebounded very well
from
that Bathurst game, that's for sure. Made the saves when he had to. You know, that's what you need, right? You need him to step up. You need to trust him. I trust him. He's still young. He's going to have his bad games. But, you know, I've got all the confidence in the world in him. And another player that, you know, hopefully we can have around here for
a few years.
A couple of years, yeah.
So you can talk about Rimouski and they got a rookie goaltender if things go wrong. I think I feel a lot better in our situation than theirs. Then Sunday they headed across the bridge, and, you know, the game everyone's talking about. It kind of reminded me of the first game in Charlottetown where the Wildcats just didn't show up for 40 minutes. But they hung around. Foreman got a goal again to keep them in it. But, you know, the biggest story, Nicholas Pavin making his debut. I would say that's the biggest story coming out of that game, no?
Isaac Wilson's first point.
Yeah.
When those are the two big points in the game,
yeah,
you know something was wrong.
Yeah, nothing against them.
Yeah, no, sure. Nobody stepped up. It was a bad effort. They should have taken advantage of Charlottetown. Charlottetown didn't get back from Bathurst until 3 o'clock in the morning the night before. You know the, so they had 13 hours from the time they got back to when they had to start the next game.
Yeah.
Moncton should have easily taken advantage of that. They had they were off the day before.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They had a rest day.
Yeah. Both teams played 3 and 4, but we played 2 and an off.
Yep.
And Charlottetown played 1, an off, and then 2 in a row.
It's just one of those unacceptable efforts, and I think they realized that. But yeah, I think obviously the bigger story came at the end. In my situation, I think I was so pissed off at the effort that as soon as the final buzzer went, I turned it off. So I didn't see all the extracurriculars that went on.
Yeah.
So you can kind of get into that. I still haven't gone and rewatched the game or anything like that to see what happened. So I'm not going to comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be...
That's going to be my job.
That's your cue.
I was as mad as... Like, I was annoyed as you. I didn't shut it off. I started the old tweeting that, you know, we had lost, whatever. Just the normal tweet I put out. And all of a sudden looked up, and it was all of Charlottetown on 3 players. Havanoff, Pelche, Sear was kind of in there. But it was the whole team. And after every game, I get it. You know, the team comes out, and I'm sure that Havanoff was, from what I've heard out there, him and Casey had been beaking all game, and Thomas Casey is always in his kitchen, and as you should when you're a grinder against a superstar. That's what you're there for. And it was a 15-on-3. I think Beauregard hit Pelche from behind, putting him on the ice. Havanov was right in the middle of it. He kind of went down. A few players on him. Apparently somewhere in that fray, he bit, I don't know, somebody. It was bleeding pretty profusely.
Brendan Clavel.
Yeah, Clavel. So, look, I'm not abstaining Havanov from doing anything wrong. Try your best to skate away. Yeah, they're beaking you, and I get that. But the fact that nobody from Charlottetown was suspended when everybody, they're leaving the bench for to go see their goalie, whatever. A, the officials got to get control of that and try to keep most of them away. B, they all left their bench. Anybody from Moncton steps off that bench, and they're getting a lot more suspensions. I mean, Thomas Casey got the first or second leaving the bench, and I even wanted to try and vet it myself. I looked up rules. So third man in, the third man into the fight. So rule 47-15, I think is how you say it. Third man in, a game misconduct penalty at the discretion of the referee shall be imposed on a player, goalkeeper, who's the first to intervene third man in. So that's what Thomas Casey got on the game misconduct. In progress, when a match penalty is already being proposed. So once Havanov got the match, they can't get a match for that. And I think that's stupid. It was third man in, fourth man in, fifth man in. But the fact that that organization didn't get fined a dollar for all that crap is absolutely a joke. The officials got to figure it out. They got to get control of it. I'm not abstaining Havanov from any of it. I'm sure, dude, you can't bite people. Like, I know you're pissed. You can't bite people. And he's the low hanging fruit. Everybody knows that if you can get in his kitchen, you can put him off his game, and he's done his very best to stop it. I think he's averaging 2 minutes a game penalty wise, which is a big issue. He had the one mistake in Val-d'Or, and he paid for it. And I suppose he'll probably pay for this one too. But I'm not abstaining our guy from it. He did it, but the fact that he's the only one to come out of that is ridiculous. And to all those people on social media that love to attack him, yeah, it's because he's not in your team's jersey. I tried very hard to stay off social media as much as I could about it, because it just frustrates me that everybody attacks him. And yeah, he's our guy, and we're gonna stand up for him. But I'm not abstaining him. He got one game. Honestly, I thought it was gonna be five, just because he's been suspended before. But it's just the fact that nobody from Charlottetown was fined is an absolute joke to me for allowing their players to just continue to stream on the ice after this crap had started. And it was, you know, you can see put pictures out there. It's 13 or 14 guys on three or four. And our guys couldn't do anything to defend themselves because they can't step on the ice. And Torchetti was understandably pissed, and I don't blame him. That was an absolute joke. That organization wasn't fined at all. So that's how I feel about that.
There you go. Glad to stay with that. That's as good as one of my little rants that I went on last year. Yeah. I like that one.
I won't lie. A rant every now and then feels pretty good.
Yeah, you know,
it's an obvious, very difficult situation for four officials to try and stop 18 players. But
yeah,
I mean, Charlottetown's just doing what they've done in every other game. It's the fact that once Havanov got into it and didn't skate away, and Pelche came to it, and they hammered Pelche for, well, I wouldn't say hammered, but pushed him down from behind, and then it was a melee. That's the issue I have, that organization didn't get fined for that.
What I love the most about this is all the Halifax fans that are so triggered because they were hoping he wouldn't be playing on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And now they have to watch him play on Saturday night. I think that's kind of funny how it didn't even involve Halifax, but somehow the Halifax fans are so like,
oh, he's the low hanging fruit for that organization. Like, I don't know what they're going to do next year if he's not here.
Well, right? they'll find another player. Anyways, like I said, I'm not going to say much about it because I didn't see it. Yeah. I stayed away from it. Sounds like I made a good decision staying away from it.
Yeah.
Cause I probably have my own, you know, side of it, but at the same time, I'm shocked. One game for biting is probably four games less than what I was expecting.
Yeah.
I was expecting at least five games.
And say he's a repeat offender.
Yeah.
Maybe it was last year, but I don't think that really factors into a lot of suspensions.
So part of me wonders if... So was he being attacked by Charlottetown players at the time? And did the league, as bad as this sound, as homerish as this may sound, did the league see it as a self-defense move?
I don't have any doubt they don't, because if Clavel had his hand in his face pushing him down...
So it's the only way I can think about it, because, you know, biting is obviously pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one way how, you know, that's how diseases can get spread. It is a pretty serious offense. You saw, like, in the NHL last night, Garnet Hathaway spit on a guy,
right? Yeah.
Like, that is serious, man. Like, that's how, you know, you can get sick just from that stuff. And it's, so for one game, to get one game, I was surprised. But also at the same time, a little, a little surprised that there was no discipline for Charlottetown. But that's as far as I'm going with it. We're going to move on from the show. We'll be without Havanov on Thursday night. We will find a way to make it work. Probably have Jacob Hudson move up to the, you know, the second line or first line, whichever way you want to call it.
Yeah. And we have no news on Rumsey. I mean, if Rumsey's back, he probably slots into.
Yeah. So we'll, we're in tough on Thursday. I know that's where we're going next. We'll kind of, you know, professional transition into into that Thursday game against Chicoutimi. Now, before we do that, of course, I did mention last week.
Yes, let's go a little that good change. Good change.
I was going to have the real CHL top 10 rankings.
Now, do you want me to give you Dave McKnight's rankings first, or do you want to drop yours and then we'll compare?
No. He's okay.
Okay.
All right. I think 90% of the teams are the same.
All right.
So it's not.
Just kind of see what the order is, but.
Yeah. So we'll start with the honorable mentions. honorable mention number one, the Sudbury Wolves out of the Ontario Hockey League, the Lethbridge Hurricanes.
What a game.
Yeah.
Like.
11-10. You score 10 goals and you still manage to find a way to lose.
And Hamilton scored 8 on 16 shots in the second period.
Yeah.
That is a piss poor average.
Yeah. Man, like, we need some Charlottetown Moncton games to be like 11-10.
Yeah.
So Sudbury, Lethbridge, and of course my third honorable mention, the Acadie Bathurst T-Town. so at number 10, moving up from not being ranked last week, the Rimouski Oceanic. Number 9, down from second, the Oshawa Generals. At 8th is the Ottawa 67s, who are up from 9. Mm-hmm. 7, the Windsor Spitfires are even. 6th, Edmonton Oil Kings, even. The biggest riser in this week's real CHL top 10, the Chicoutimi Saguenayens, up from 8th to number 5. The Prince Albert Raiders are up from 5th to 4th. The Moncton Wildcats are even. The Everett Silvertips are up from 4th to 2nd. And the Sherbrooke Phoenix remain as a top team in Canada. So that is the realest CHL top 10. None of this corrupt garbage. Corrupt garbage.
All right, that's...
let's move into Thursday's game.
This one should be...
A lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I think it should be the same level as what Sherbrooke was. As we come to the anniversary, we're not going to get into a lot of things about this. We come to the anniversary of the Wildcast podcast, not being scared of Drummondville, not being scared of Sherbrooke, and absolutely getting pumped. So that wasn't good. Yeah, it's top two teams in the Eastern Conference, and we don't see them a whole lot. I think Chicoutimi 8-1-1. They're on a 4-game winning streak. You know, we're 8-2, 8-game home winning streak. So I don't even know what to expect from this one.
A lot of...
Is this an 11-10 type game?
I hope not.
Me too.
if so, okay. If... But I like this is going to be a very fun game. Like I'm actually looking forward to this game a lot more than I was looking forward to the one against Sherbrooke.
Okay.
I think Chicoutimi is the better team than Sherbrooke. I think Sherbrooke's taking advantage of a weak opponents. I think they're in the what division?
Sherbrooke?
Yeah. Maybe I'm totally wrong right now.
We should really have this stuff vetted first.
They are actually in a pretty weak conference.
Yeah. It's like Drummondville and Rouen last year, right?
Yeah, like they're already 14 points up on Val-d'Or they're first and Val-d'Or second with 26 points. They're already 14 points up on the closest team to them.
Yeah,
right. They literally could lose half their roster and still win the conference.
Yeah, they're in the Central with Drummondville, Shawinigan, and Victoriaville.
Yeah. So they're taking advantage, right? You saw it when they came here. Like, was it Cape Breton was up 3-1 on them, but then they blew the lead.
Yeah.
We beat Sherbrooke. Chicoutimi is the best team in this league right now. Sherbrooke is not the best team in this league.
Oh, okay.
So Chicoutimi beat Sherbrooke last weekend, 3-0.
Yeah.
They're the best team in this league. They're quite possibly the best team in this country right now.
And three first-round picks to add.
Three first-round picks.
And they're the team that was part of the three-team swap with Noah Dobson, right? So are they acquiring anything from that you know of? Like, are they going to have three first-round picks, or does one go to Rouen if something go, like... Like, you don't know what it is, right? Like, we don't know all the details, right? So, you cannot confirm or deny.
I cannot confirm or deny.
Yeah.
But they are going to be extremely active. But this is going to be a very fun game. There is going to be a lot of scouts in the building. Because Chicoutimi has Théo Rochette, Hendrix Lapierre. Who are going to be very high picks in the NHL draft.
We get to see Raphael Harvey-Pinard.
Defoe. Ethan Crosman. They're a very stacked team. Like, they are loaded. They don't need to make many moves. Like, they are looking good already.
They're kind of the Wren. They're a pretty stacked team, and they just add a couple pieces to take them over the top.
Make a couple moves, right?
Justin Ducharme.
Yeah. It's
Wow, yeah, that's a pretty...
They're set, right? And they have those three first-round picks. It's crazy. When you have a team that's this good, rarely do you see them have three first-round picks. And that just sets them up, man. Like, it's they could go out and get
draft.
They could literally go and get two guys from Halifax with these three first-round picks. They could go and get Bogrou. They could go and get Raphael Labois.
McIsaac.
Right, McIsaac would.
Chance to win a Memorial Cup. You might go anywhere, maybe. I don't know.
McIsaac wouldn't go there.
All right.
I don't think he would. But it's unbelievable. They're set up. They're sitting pretty right now, and they're a serious threat. And without being a big homer right now, they could be the team that stands in Moncton's way from winning the President's Cup. Beginning of the season, I said Ramusi against Moncton.
Yeah.
This could be your President's Cup preview right here.
Yeah, because once you get to that third round, it flip-flops, and if Chicoutimi and Moncton are 1-2 in this division, it's Sherbrooke and probably Rimouski after they load up in the other division, so who knows how it works out. I mean, they got Alex Shank, who was, lights out at the end of last year. He's carrying most of the mail. 19 games played to Daniel Moody's 4, but when you look at this thing, you don't see these teams a lot, and it kind of sucks, but it'd also be good to have like 3 or 4 games against these guys.
With Chicoutimi coming to the Maritimes, thoughts and prayers to all the play-by-play guys, in the Maritimes here, trying to pronounce Loris Rafanomensasua.
Come again?
Number 15 on Chicoutimi, Loris Rafanomensasua.
Yeah, you're going to shorten that to something, wouldn't you? Louis?
Louis. Louis. Louise.
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 Rafa, I know what I'm going to spoil.
Just say something blah, 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 and just call it what it is. Yeah.
Tim, Pat, I don't know if they're on a maritime swing right now. Mike Sanderson.
Gareth McLeod.
Gareth, yeah, McDonald. Yeah, that's his name. Bathurst, who obviously don't have play-by-play guys for some reason. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Good luck.
And then they head up to the Havanoff back. It kind of sucks that he's not playing in that one, but then the Wildcats head up to Halifax where, let's be honest, they just got to travel up there and continue to build on the last time they were up there and getting the win, right? Like, it's great that they got over that little hump beating them once in Halifax. Now you have to do it again. I thought maybe McIsaac would be back for this game, but it looks like he'll be back to, as you tweeted out, showcase for the scouts.
Gotta raise that trade value.
Yeah. He'll be back next weekend, I guess. So, but I would think Rodriguez is going to go with both. And, I mean, Halifax or Lavalette played pretty well, but I would.
I will say 90% that this will be two Rodriguez games.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Laugh Lake. Fuck.
We'll cut that out. Laugh Lake.
Laugh Lake. I wouldn't be surprised if Lavalet. Oh my god.
Guy gets one beer in him and he can't say Lavalet.
I wouldn't be surprised if Lavalet goes Saturday night in Halifax. Just to not really throw them off,
mm-hmm.
but to give them that big game. To give them that Maritime Division rivalry game.
When does Hockey Canada camp start? Is that the first week of December? Does Rodrigo only have four games left?
Hold the phone. I do know it's in Oakville, Ontario.
Oh, cool.
It is in...
Wait, aren't you going to Ontario for Christmas?
No. Not during this time.
Oh, okay.
December 9th until the 12th. So then he would probably leave on the 8th.
He'd be here all the way through the big road trip. So, yeah. All right, never mind. So, just the two games, Chicoutimi, Halifax. If you want to see the top two teams in the Eastern Conference play, it's ladies' night again. Use the code WILDLADIES, $12 tickets, $6 wine. You know, take your lady to a game. Send your ladies out. Take care of the kids. You know, I got nothing else. Let's get to it. The fans know it. They love it.
Eric Murray Realty. Buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
So imagine you go and do your groceries.
Yeah.
And you're just going up and down the aisles. And then suddenly... So me personally, I go to Superstore. Trinity Drive. What up? You're on the last aisle.
I go to Superstore at the mall.
Oh, whatever. You suck.
Well, it's closer.
Whatever. Sure. So Superstore, Trinity Drive. You're in the last aisle. Frozen food section.
Yeah.
And you make the turn to go to the cash, and all of a sudden your left-hand side's beer. So, incredible. Somehow New Brunswick has decided to live in the past and finally add beer to their grocery stores. Yeah, it's a little more costly than it is at the liquor store, but I realize for a 6-pack, it's only 17 cents more.
Yep.
So I'm just like, well, instead of making two stops, you make one.
Yeah.
You can't buy your 2-4, but that's okay. Who drinks a 2-4 in one night? I drink 12 in one night. I'm an alcoholic.
Functioning
alcoholic. So this is like, I know it's kind of a couple weeks late here, but we had some other good stick taps to hand out before.
For sure.
This one got its recognition. But you're so used to seeing it in other provinces, right? You go to Quebec and you can buy them in your gas stations. You go to Ontario, you got the buck of beer now with, $24 for a 2-4. You can buy your beer in the grocery stores. Well, we finally have it here now.
It's funny, when you grow up in Alberta, you don't realize how many liquor stores are around. And when you move to this wonderful province and city like Moncton, and there's only the NB liquor, then you go back to Alberta, you realize just how many liquor stores there are on just about every corner open till 2 a.m.
So yeah, we're pretty lucky to have this. So I don't know who decided to do it, but big shout out to you for
to everyone involved
who got our beer added to the grocery stores to avoid us from making an unnecessary stop on the way home at the NBLC, New Brunswick Liquor Commission hashtag not a sponsor.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with Century 21. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Greater Moncton and surrounding area, make sure to check out his Facebook page or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
All right, that brings us to the Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week. I said this wasn't always going to be about points. Obviously, if somebody goes off and has a big week, then they will be. But this week goes to D-Man Sean Stewart, the Big Rig. 2 points on Friday, plus three. He was the hardest worker. Let's be honest. I like his game. I like his game this year playing with Axel Anderson. I think he's the steady stay-at-home defenseman that allows Axel to do what he does so well offensively. And I think they found a nice pair with those two as of right now. So your Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week is defenseman Sean Stewart. Well, that'll do it for the show. Again, guys, thanks for downloading and listening. I want to bring up a special event. Tuesday, December 3rd is Giving Tuesday to help cancer patients at the Moncton Hospital. It's an event brought to you by, in Becca's name, and Friends of the Moncton Hospital. Why? Well, because cancer sucks, let's be honest. You can transform a struggle into a smile to help cancer patients with some of the smaller yet significant financial challenges they and other families deal with on a daily basis. I can't even imagine what these families go through. Having one already and having another one, you just can't imagine what these families have to go through with these kids or themselves, to be honest with you. So the Rebecca Schofield Fund provides support directly to cancer patients for needs and amenities and that most take for granted. How you can do that is online at inbeccasname.ca or text Tuesday to 20222. That's Tuesday to 20222. Data rates may apply. Join the largest day of giving around the world and help cancer patients at the Moncton Hospital as well. Oh, it's 2 weeks left in November, which means there's 2 weeks for us to grow these sweet stashes. Mr. Boucher, you've kind of come back a little bit of a, don't call it a comeback.
I still got it going on here, but I've obviously big, still repping the Movember mustache, but at the same time, I am working on my Decembeard. So I'm kind of got a little of the both going on right now. Looking good here. Probably I'll run the mustache till the end of the month. And then, 1st of December, I'll get a trim and, keep growing it out until, the 1st of January. And then, clean cut, soft as a baby's bottom
for the new year.
That's right.
That's perfect. If you want to help us, donate to this wonderful cause, go to Movember.com, search Moncton Wild Cast as well. Don't forget, this Thursday at the Avenir Center, it is Ladies Night versus Chicoutimi. That's $12 tickets, $6 wine. Use the code WILDLADIES. Guys, let your ladies go out on a night on the town. Let them go to the Avenir Center. Send them on it. Buy the tickets. Send them out. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.